all my life. I just want you to just think about that. All my life, the song said, you have been faithful. Even when we're not faithful, he still pursues us with an everlasting. Let that sink in. Think about the one that you may have issues with. Do you pursue them with kindness and love, or do you just leave them over there? I'm thankful that God didn't leave me over there. He chased after me so that I could be who he's called me to be. Just, God's always faithful. No matter what you're going through, no matter what hills you had to climb, you didn't do it by yourself. God is so faithful. He's so loving. He's so kind. He's so patient. I'm excited this morning. Can you tell? I've had a great, joyous Christmas season. Have you? Celebrating our Savior's birth and doing it with family and friends. And now getting ready to go into a new season. Everybody say, new season. Are you excited? Are you going into it expecting great things from God? Or are you living into it with the weight of 2024 still on your shoulders? I'm here to encourage you. I'm going into 2025 expecting great things from my God. And the only reason why I expect great things from my God is because my God is that big. And he desires to do great things through his people. So Barry won't be doing great things. God will be doing great things through me as I submit to his will. Are you excited? We're getting ready to start a journey called New Beginnings in the book of Joshua. New Beginnings in the book of Joshua. Let me bring you up to speed. Joshua is a book where the second in charge becomes the one in charge. He's seen Moses do a lot of things as they wandered in the wilderness. But he saw the people of Israel grumble and complain against Moses. Over a million, close to 2 million. Can you imagine 2 million people just grumbling and complaining? But Moses was faithful to his call. He saw Moses intercede time and again for the Israelite people, that God would not destroy them. And so now Joshua is getting ready to become the leader. And now we understand that Joshua has been being groomed for this time. God called him a long time ago to be Moses' aide. And in that, he saw what true leadership was all about. Moses was one of the most humblest men you've ever met. And he learned that on the backside of the desert. For 40 years, he served sheep in the pasture. And then God called him, Exodus chapter 3, out of a burning bush to deliver his people from Egyptian bondage. And Moses gave God all the excuses. How many people got excuses? Hey, amen. Everybody's hands should go up. My wife will ask me to do something. I'm a man of God. I've got to study. I cannot do that right now. Then she'll go, well, when you get time after God releases you, can you help me? Everyone wants to be a smart aleck. But when God asks you to do something, what's the Christian response? there you go. I'm going to go into my prayer closet. I'm going to pray about it. God, I want to make sure you're in the, I want to be in the center of your will. As opposed to, yes, Lord, here I am, send me. Joshua was that yes, Lord, because he saw Moses and all that Moses did. So let's jump in. Let's look at the call of Joshua in verses 1 and 2a. The Bible says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, my servant is dead. Wow. Joshua knew this day was coming. God told Moses he could not enter into the promised land. He told him that Joshua was going to lead him. But it's something about when that time actually happens, and now you have to do what God's called you to do. That's kind of where Joshua is at this point. But we need to understand what the Bible says about Moses, who he was following. Deuteronomy 34:10 says, no prophet has arisen again in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. In other words, Moses had such a relationship with God. He's the one that went up Mount Sinai and came down with the Ten Commandments. He's the one that met with the Lord, and the Lord would come down and speak to him. No other prophet was like that. Moses was also the one who obeyed God, even when it wasn't popular to obey God, to tell the people what God was getting ready to do to them if they did not repent and turn. Moses was that figure that was almost larger than life for the people of Israel. And Joshua's like, now I've got to step into his shoes. That's kind of amazing to me that God, in his sovereignty, chose Joshua to be that man of world war, to do battles for Moses. Moses would say, go fight them. Exodus chapter 17, their very first battle. Joshua was on the front line, and Moses was to hold up the staff. Every time the staff was raised, they were winning. The minute his arms got tired, it went down. They started losing. And then people said, oh, let's prop it up so that we win. That was Joshua's experience. Understanding the battle was not his, but the Lord's. He got a front row vision of how God was fighting for Israel so that when it became his time, he would understand the battle's not yours. I think a lot of times in ministry, we always make it about us, right? Okay, I'm speaking to myself. I make it about me. But what I do is not about me. The things that go on in my world and the battles that I have, those belong to the Lord. My job is to be faithful to my assignment and to what God's called me to. That's what Joshua is getting ready to see. But I want you to see the people that God called him to lead. Look at what Moses says in Deuteronomy 31:27. He says, for I know how rebellious and stiff-necked you are. If you are rebelling against the Lord now, while I am still alive, how much will you rebel after I'm dead? Understanding, Joshua's hearing all this. He knows who the people of Israel have become. But yet he's still willing to say, yes, Lord. They're rebellious, stiff-necked. They're always challenging God's authority. But Moses is getting ready to say, okay, look at what he says in verse 29. For I know after my death, you will become completely corrupt and turn from the path I've commanded you. Disaster will come to you in the future because you will do what is evil in the Lord's sight, angering him with what your hands have made. This is the ministry that Joshua is getting ready to walk into, not a cakewalk. Moses tells you they're going to fall off because they've already done it while I'm here. So what makes you think they're going to survive and do what God says when I'm gone? But then look at what Moses does for Joshua as he transfers his leadership. Moses, Deuteronomy 31, 1 through 3. Then Moses continued to speak these words to all of Israel, saying, I am now 120 years old. I can no longer act as your leader. The Lord has told me, you will not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God is the one who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy the nations before you, and you will drive them out. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, as the Lord has said. Once again, you understand the Lord's battle. The Lord your God is the one who will cross ahead of you. The Lord is going before them. The Lord is the one that's driving out the nations. Their job is to walk in obedience to what the Lord's called us to. That is what Joshua is being charged with, understanding his call was greater than who he was. That call pretty much would have scared me off to be like Moses back in the day. God, I'm not very good at speaking. God, I don't think you got the right one. I'm a military man. I'm not one that's politically correct. I like to just go out and kill people. I'd have got real blunt with God. It's amazing when God sets stuff up in our life, we fight God all the way until God helps us understand, Barry, I don't need you. I have somebody else that's willing, but I chose you. Something about being chosen in life. But I don't want you to hear that I stood out and said, God, I want you to choose me. I'm a behind the scenes person. I like to work in the background, if you haven't noticed. But God says, nope, I'm gonna make you a preacher. My wife will attest, I fought that long and hard. That means I gotta stand up before people. Guess who's standing here? Took a while for my obedience to happen, but I realized it wasn't about me. It's about what God's trying to do in and through me and through my life. That's what surrender looks like. Taking I out of it and replacing it with him. Allowing him to fight your battles. Allowing him to go across before you. Lastly, he tells them in verses 7 and 8, Moses then summoned Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all Israel, key words in Joshua, be strong and courageous, for you will go with this people into the land the Lord swore to give to his ancestors. You will enable them to take possession of it. The Lord is the one who will go before you. He will be with you, not leave you or abandon you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Those are powerful words. In front of all Israel, God has selected you. He's going to lead you through all these battles. I need you to be strong and courageous, and don't shrink back from the moment. A lot of times we allow the moment to cause us to be fearful. And so lastly, the Lord commissions him. In Deuteronomy 31, 23, the Lord commissioned Joshua, son of Nun, be strong and courageous, for you will bring the Israelites into the land I swore to them, and I will be with you. Once again, you see this land back to Abram. He promised him a land through all generations. Now it's time for them to enter into that land that's been promised to them. But Joshua is the one to lead them through it. Let's look at the charge he gave Joshua. The charge he gave Joshua in 2 through 5. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you will, you and all the people, prepare to cross the Jordan to the land I'm giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised. Stop right there. The land I am giving the Israelites, and I have given. Two different tenses. I am giving, and I have given. Understanding that God owns it all. So the minute God promised that land to Abram, the deed was already given to Abram. They just haven't possessed it yet. Now they're getting ready to walk into it. How many promises have God given us that we already have, but we haven't taken possession of it because we haven't walked in what God has for us? A lot of times we take God and say, okay, God, sure. But we don't act like it's already done. That's what true obedience looks like. The reason why Moses could not get into the promised land, he disobeyed God. God asked him, because the people were grumbling, Roy, if you've been in church long enough and you've been a pastor long enough, people grumble. And over a million people started complaining about Moses. We don't have any water. Moses said, I've done this already. Why are you keep coming back to me about water? God asked him to speak to the rock. He decided to hit the rock again, which was not what God told him. Therefore, he could not enter into the promised land. Do you think God's serious about his word? And about us completely honoring it? Not partially, but actually completely honoring it? But he keeps reminding Joshua, I'm doing the things that I promised Moses. Because Joshua saw all that God was promising Moses, so he's saying, just like I did things for Moses, I'm going to do for you. That helped him in his leadership. Just as God is faithful to the saints of old, he's faithful to us today. The question is, are you willing to answer his call for your life? A lot of times we'll say, yes, God, I'll follow you, but as long as you don't ask me to go, you fill in the blank. Wherever that place is that you do not want to go, you say, God, I will. But the charge becomes even greater. Look at what he says in verses 4 and 5. Your territory will be from the wilderness and the Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and the west of the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or abandon you. Do you hear those words from the Lord? I will stand with you. I will not leave you. This is the one that gets me. No one will be able to stand against you. Does that sound amazing? Does that sound like, wow? Even those giants in the land that I saw when I went over, they won't be able to stand? Brothers and sisters, we got to remember our God is greater than any giant in the land. You remember David? David defeated Goliath when all the Israelites the whole army was standing there day after day. He kept coming out challenging them. But little David, with a slingshot and five little stones, what has God equipped you with to defeat the giants in your life that are preventing you from being obedient to God? A lot of times we make all kind of excuses, but God's already prepared us for the battle that we're getting ready to get into. The question is, are we going to walk in it in obedience, or are we going to come limping in like we're already defeated, like God's called you to something that's not great? Whatever God does is great. And what amazes me, he chooses to use imperfect people to do his will. That's each one of us. That's each one of us. Look at his commission. Words that we've heard over and over again. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to your ancestors to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the left or the right, so that you will have success wherever you go. Stop there. He's helping Joshua understand, which helps us understand, there's a battle that rages when God puts a call on your life. It's an inner battle as well as an outward battle. And some of those inward battles is that I'm not capable. I can't. I don't think I'm ready. If God calls you, you're ready. If God challenges you to step out on faith, he's already provided for you. What happens is we don't take that courageous step to say, yes, Lord, I'm all in. He's saying, remember, the land that I promised from generation to generation, I'm giving it to you. Then he says, be very courageous. This is what really caught my attention, to observe carefully the whole instruction. That was the Torah, first five books of the, but we have 66 books of the Bible. So he's challenging us to carefully study the word so that we don't veer off the path that God's called us to. Because it's easy to veer off. There are so many distractions. There are so many detours. Anybody's taking a long road trip, right? My daughter just drove back to Florida. It was supposed to be a 12-hour drive. Guess how long it took them? Oh, God, no. Oh, no. It took them close to 16 hours. They expected to be home at a certain time, 12 hours later. And then when it became 16, guess who kept getting phone calls? That little one over there. We're in traffic. We're stuck. We're not moving. They don't call me because I was like, what would you like me to do? That's my retort. You call me with that, we're stuck. I'm sorry. Here's your mom. She's the encourager of the family. I'm the practical one. Okay, maybe you want to stop and get something to eat since traffic's not moving? I don't know. But think about your spiritual journey. Sometimes we get stuck. Sometimes we're in a detour. Sometimes we're just not where God wants us. And he has you in those places way too long. I'm talking for me. I don't do well when it's time to wait. I am a very anxious person. If I develop a plan, I expect it to be done yesterday. Thank you for joining me in my therapy sessions. My therapist tells me, wait on the Lord. I think that's a good word for everyone here. As you go into the new year, learn to follow all his instructions. In my younger years, I used to put furniture together at the house. You know how everything, you go to IKEA, you got 50 million little pieces, Henry, and then they give you this instruction book that's this thick. I told you I'm an impatient person. I believe I can look at a picture and know how pieces go together. God's gifted me in that way. And I like to work by myself, Henry. I don't want anybody helping in the room. Every so often, there's this little person in my house that would come and say, "How's things going?" And I would assure her, we're right on schedule. I'll be done shortly. And you know what she would do, Roy? She would ask me, "Why is the instruction book over here?" I said, "That's for people that need it. I see the picture. I know how it goes together." And somehow, there was always like 5 or 6 extra pieces that they send you. Those extra pieces would sit in the pile, and I would tell her, "Look, I'm done." And I've learned, she looked at the pile and said, "Why do you have so many pieces left over?" I said, "You know, they give you extras in case you break something." Sounded good to me. You're laughing too much. I think that's how we do the Bible sometimes. We read it by looking at the outside of it. We look at the cross, but we don't read the words in there. We know the stories, but we don't look at it intently so that we can follow. I think that's what God's trying to tell Joshua. This road is tough. I need you to be very courageous in following every word that's in my word, as opposed to doing it your way. I think that's where we go off. I know that's where I go off when I begin to start doing things my own way. And when he keeps telling them to be strong, you understand battles are coming. And so the question is, you have to understand where your strength comes from. The Bible will give you that. Psalms 28:7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart celebrates, and I give thanks to him with my song." Understanding your strength comes from the Lord. He's already prepared you for what you're getting ready to walk into, but he's also your shield. When the enemy attacks, when doubt comes in, when fear tries to raise up, the Lord is your strength. I like Ephesians 6:10-11. It says, "Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil." Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. You know, when we get tired in ministry, I start understanding I'm starting to work in my own strength, in my own plans, in my own will. I get energized when I see God doing God things, opening doors that I didn't even imagine that he was going to open. That's what it looks like to walk in God's strength, just walking by his plans and his will. And then he gives them this instruction. "This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it, for then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Not only does he tell you to carefully read, but he tells you to meditate on the word. And what he's telling you to, as you're reading, and God brings you to a passage that it just won't let you go, he's like, read it. But not just read it out loud. Read it over and over again. Until you understand all that I'm challenging you to go forward and do. Because we don't read the Bible just for knowledge. We read it so that we can do God's will. So that we can understand God's heart. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired or breathed out by God. It is profitable for teaching, rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God's word is just not a book. It's profitable. So if we get in it, God's going to show us what it is that he would have us to do. And I started thinking, what is that one thing that I would do if I understood, I would have success in it? Who is that one person that I would meet with if I knew they were far from God and God would bring them close to him? So as we wrap this up, I want us to start thinking about 2025. What has God called you to? What has God called you to do that you've been putting on the back burner, that you keep saying, not now, not yet? Those of us who are a little bit older, Moses was 80 when he got his call. So you're always available, but the question is, are you willing to follow God's calling? That means he's going to take you out of your comfort zone. How many people like that comfort zone? I got a whole basement full of my comfort zone. It's got a chair that feels so good, Brandon. When I'm sitting in that chair, there's nothing. But God kind of pried my butt out of that chair, and he reminded me something that Mike, Rachel, and myself did 2 years ago. Towson University. Ministry was getting ready to start back up. We had a season of prayer. We sat in the union and we looked over the campus and asked God for things. We asked God to deliver that campus, that we would have a beachhead on that campus. And ministry, people would come to know Christ. And to see it working out today, I think we discount what God wants to do in and through our lives. Because you got to remember, ministry after COVID, it was difficult. But God specializes in difficult. Who is that one person in your life that you're asking God for? I want you to be committed to praying that prayer for God to open their hearts and their minds to his truth. Because we all have a call to lead somebody. Our job is to make disciples that make disciples. And we see that in the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Disciple making, it's not as hard as we make it. Our job is to be a witness to what Christ has done in your life. So your homework assignment, I want you to recognize over 2024, how has Christ made a difference in your life? That's your testimony. Just over 2024, where did you see God moving in your life? And share that. Watch God do amazing things with your testimony. He promises to be with us. So I'm asking us to, just that one person that God's placed on your heart, I want us to be prayerful. I want us to continue to share what God's doing in our life. But I also want us to leave the results to God. All we can do is control ourselves. God is the result king. And so every year, the beginning of the year, I start off with a word for the year. And that word helps me throughout the year when the year gets tough. My 2025 word is limitless. I am no longer putting limits on God. My prayer life is going to look a whole lot different because my God is bigger than what I've been praying. My God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than I ask, think, or imagine. I'm asking God to transform our whole community. And that starts with one person at a time. Do you realize during the course of the week through pickleball, volleyball, basketball, we have well over 100 people coming through here? And guess what? Most of them don't know Christ. Already have opportunities. I'm telling you, 2025 is going to be a great year. 2024 was amazing, but 2025 is going to be limitless because I'm asking God to fill that pool to where we see 50 people in a weekend baptized. How cool would that be? How amazing would that be if we were praying for those loved ones and then we see God answer? My question to you, have you heard the call to make disciples if you are a follower of Christ? That means we've got to get in the game. And our part is to share what God's doing in your life. So take some time before 2025 rings in. Have those mile markers of those God moments in your life. And then ask God to share that with somebody. And ask God to bring the increase. And so some insights that we want to recognize is that God is sovereign. We already know that. We sang about that earlier. God's on a path. He's doing a work in each one of our lives. He's always at work. The question that I have, that I had to answer, will I answer his call? Will I show up and say, here I am, send me? Or will I make excuses about God doesn't want to use me? Number two, God is faithful. So if you answer that call, God is faithful to accomplish what he's trying to accomplish in your life. And in others, God is our provider. He's provided us with the scriptures. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable. So he's giving us the tools to work with, but he's also our protector. So when the enemy comes with the lies that he tells, God is the one that's going to defend you. Or maybe you're here for the first time and you've never answered that call to salvation. You've never put your trust in Christ. God loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you on the cross. He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we may receive the righteousness of God. If that's you, today is the day to answer that call. Or maybe God's called you to join us because we believe God's going to do God-sized things in 2025 here at Valley. Maybe you want to be a partner and be a part of that. Whatever God's challenging you with today, I challenge you to say yes to him. Yes, Lord. Because what I can tell you about God's call, because I'm in the middle of one right now, he doesn't give you the whole plan at once. He gives you little bits at a time. As you are obedient, he gives you more. So today, will you say, yes, Lord, use me. Father in heaven, we thank you for Joshua. We thank you for the insights that you've given us. God, we thank you that you use imperfect people to do your will. God, I ask that you would move within our congregation. God, that we would seek to see you transform one life out of our relationships. God, that you would bring somebody from darkness to light, and that you would use us. Encourage each one of us to say yes, Lord, to whatever you're calling us to. And then help us to follow according to your word and your will. God, we thank you. We love you. We ask you all this in Jesus' name. Amen.